Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Carly. I'm excited for tonight. I was trying to play a song that the guy from We Love Soaps .net are going to be on with me. I'm looking so forward to that. But the damn song did not play. I'm sorry for swearing, people. But I had it queued up. It was perfect. And now is this one played for me. So let me go over like two announcements really quick. Because I'm great at forgetting, and I really don't want to forget anything. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The thing for one of my friends, We Want Liaison Bags on General Hospital, is created by Harriet. Her page was created on May 15th, and they have over 229 fans. And you can read a lot of spoilers and everything. So if you ever wanted to look on my Facebook at Daytime 1976, you can, because that is on there. And hi everyone in the room. And let me bring on our first callers. Like I said, I think these guys are great. I've read some articles. I fell in love with the Juan Hill interview that they did, and they've done so much, a lot of things that I think these guys look great. So I'm going to bring them on in a second. Hi, you guys. 212-646, you guys are both on mail.
Hi, Carly.
Hi. Okay, I swear I tried playing you song and the dang thing would not play.
Oh my gosh. Well,
I know.
Your listeners are gonna have to go to the website to hear some of the best music they've ever heard. If anyone likes dramatic music about grief and loss, death, loss, and just some interesting electronica. They wanna go.
Well, I heard it and I fell in love with it. I'm like especially the grief and loss song. I don't know. I just gravitate to that. Don't know why, but but like I said in the intro, I fell in love with you guys' Juan Hill interview. I think Damien did, or DeBaldo did. Whichever one of you did, I feel like you guys asked the right questions. It was like one of the best articles I read in so long, and I mean, but he's not leaving Zeno Hospital yet, right?
Well, first of all, Carly, thank you. Yeah, I did that one, Damon. I did that interview with Ron Hale. I was so, so, so thrilled. I'd like to tell you a little bit about that, if I can. We were so fortunate. We polled 15 different soap journalists and critics over the past 35 to 40 years, different people we knew that had been writing about and covering soaps. And we asked all of these people to rank their top 50 soap actors ever. And so we counted that list down earlier this year, and Ron Hale made number 47 of the 50. And you may think to yourself, well, that's kind of low, but you got to think about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of actors did not make the cut at all. So for him to make number 50, I was thrilled because I certainly admire him. And he called us and let us know just how honored he was and you know, what that meant to him. And I was like, good, do an interview with us. He's like, okay. So that came out of that list that we did, that we were so honored to praise him and the 49 other actors we admire so much.
I'm sorry, but I'm mad because they don't use him. They do not use one hand.
Oh, I know. Is that horrible? Is that horrible? I'm mad too. I know, right.
I mean, you because there's so much story to tell with him and Sonny. The inside that had not been resolved. The Sonny Mike issue had not really, I mean, yeah, they went for a couple of years, but it's like you only see Mike on holidays or with Sonny Tile or when a grandkid baby gets born. I mean, you know, you don't see him interacting with Spencer at all, and that's his grandson too. I mean, did the writers forget, I mean, that he had another kid besides Sonny's kids? I mean, there's no interaction between Spencer and Mike. And I'm like, wait a moment, he loved Courtney so much. So for him to ignore that baby, that just doesn't wash over with me at all. I mean, it just,
right.
I feel
I'm with you. Now, I mean, to go back to what you were saying, though, first of all, he is still on the show. He's not leaving yet. He said in the interview, but it's in the pipe for him. Because this is a healthy move for him, because he's ready. He's been working in the biz for 41 years. You know, the guy is ready. He wants to go be on a farm and chop wood. God bless him for that. You know, he's earned the right to do that. He's still young and healthy enough to enjoy all that. Let him have it. But on the subject of General Hospital and forgotten grandparents, I mean, okay, so let's talk Mike, let's talk Bobby, let's talk Monica. You know,
Thank you.
Grandkids, their lives are a mess, and none of these wonderful grandparents who we have loved who approved themselves,
you know, yeah, and
are around.
Maybe you two don't know this, so maybe you do. I'm a big Laidlaw fan, and having Jason not really in Jake's life, but the other thing that ticks me off, wait a moment, Monica has been ready and willing to be a grandmother for years. And for that show to really discredit Monica and Bobby, I mean, Bobby was on the other day, but I swear she's had another facelift. I mean, I'm not quite sure, I'm not calling it out, but Bobby was on for like 2 seconds. And I'm like, that was the first time in a year and a half, or maybe a year, that we saw Bobby. It was a random hospital scene, and I'm like, okay, this, you know, I'm not happy about it, and you guys are not happy, and I think we just need to put pressure on ZH, because we want to see the Coleman and Bobby and all of that interact, and it's about damn time they wake up and do it.
Well, from your words to ABC's ears, but I don't think we're going to see that in our lifetime, Carly. I'm sad to say. At least, you know, I think with the way things are right now, they're fairly content with things being the way they are. That doesn't mean I'm content, but
well,
I don't see any great moves towards that anytime soon. But I do want to thank you for that wonderful praise you gave us. And, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but I did an interview with Jacqueline Zeman, who plays Bobby, last year. It's on the website. If you go into the right column.
Oh, that's
right.
You did.
Archives,
yeah.
We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chat together about the history of Bobby and just the power of the daytime genre to tell powerful stories that really helped people. She's played a woman who had been abused as a child, who became a prostitute, who then became a nurse and survived a marriage where she was being she was a survivor of domestic violence. And with every obstacle and with every tragedy, Bobby overcomes. And we just talked about the power of soap to tell these wonderful stories and how many women and men that she has helped by being a part of that. So, you know, I mean, the people who know how powerful this is, they know it. And the thing is, you and I and the viewers who love these folks, we have our memories. They can't ever take that away from us.
Have you guys done an interview with my boyfriend, Bradford Anderson? Because I don't care what anyone says. I know he got married, but in my little head, Spinelli needs to be my boyfriend because he just got his heart ripped out by Maxie, and I think I can take away the pain. So have you guys done an interview with, like, Bradford yet? Oh, Lola
Wright? You know what we've done? We have done several interviews with him. None in great depth, but we have gone to a lot of events where we've had a chance to talk to him, say hello, kind of get his take on Spinelli, you know, get his future. I would love to talk with him more because he's actually, Bradford is a very, very intelligent man, and very wise, and certainly given a chance, I would love to speak with him in more depth. But we've done about three or four interviews with him now that are fairly quick. They're kind of the quick.
Well, if you guys ever get another fans, you could, like, whisper in his ear this show, because that is my new goal in life, for getting Bradford on the show, because, you know, when Spinelli came on, at first I'm like, okay, who is this dude that is going to be living with Jason? But then I fell in love with the Jason and Spinelli relationship, and a lot of people may not like it out there, but I'm sorry, it's cute, it's interesting to watch Jason's expressions every time Spinelli gets himself into things, and I love seeing Steve and Bradford in scenes together, and I mean, I love seeing Sonny and Steve in a scene together, and but one thing I am sad about on VH was this whole thing about this whole Johnny thing and Sonny going after Johnny, and I'm like, okay, don't you learn anything from the past? When you set a car bomb up, people die, or people don't. I mean, luckily no one died, but I think Sonny needs to ease up on Christina. You know, that relationship is going to be gone. What did you guys take on Sonny and, yeah.
About the violence, or what about him?
About just the fact that, you know, this is the kid during daytime. Either people love Sonny Crystals, or they really, really hate the guy. I mean, I've never met a person that has been medium about Sonny. Ever. I have never seen anyone that, you know, can have something down the middle. We are Sonny's
well, I'm in the middle. You met me. I'm in the middle. I don't really have a hate or love for Sonny myself. You know, I really enjoyed him in the 90s when he was more of a supporting character or part of the ensemble, kind of an important part of the tapestry of Port Charles, an important part of what made the show special and unique. But around the early 2000s, when the show started to revolve around him, I became a lot more neutral and indifferent towards him. To me, it's too much Sonny is not a good thing. I don't hate the guy. I don't hate the character. And I certainly don't love the character. But I just think it's kind of too much of a good thing.
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm the one that, you know, I mean, I do like the mob a little because, you know, seeing things blown up and seeing, you know, how people can be taken down is kind of good. And I'm a Carly fan. So anyone that tries to tell me how wrong Carly is, I'm like, wait a moment, no, she never, okay, yeah, she has been wrong. But I don't think in my head that even with this plan with Lulu, I understand why she did what she did. And a lot of people want to say what she did is wrong. Well, I think people will have to judge if it was your family going through what Michael did. You know, my whole feeling, I don't know if this was you guys' feeling, they should have just done the cover-up. They should have done the cover-up and not listened to Dante, because Dante, you know, was on there for 5 minutes and everyone was listening to the guy. I don't know. For me, I wanted to, like, throw up.
I'm sorry to hear that. I don't think their intention is to have you or any of the viewers throw up. I think they're honestly trying to tell a good story the best way they know how. I'm not saying I always think it's the show that I prefer to see, but I don't think the intention is to make you throw up. I think, though, if you get riled up and you get angry enough, I think that's something that it's a strong emotional reaction.
Well, I have a strong emotion on someone, and I just want to get you in take on her, and I'm just praying to the sub gods right now that you feel the same way about her that I do. Oh, you guys, what did you guys think of the character of Sam?
Oh, my gosh. Again, this is someone I'm pretty neutral about. I've grown to like her over the years. I was such a Brenda fan, and when Sam came on, you know, I kind of felt like a Brenda knockoff. Like, all right, we ain't getting Vanessa Marcel back, which now they are, so, you know, they're going to bring in Sam instead. But I've never really found anything particularly to root for or to, not in four with the character. Again, I think I'm fairly neutral. You know, the problem, okay, so here's the problem with me in General Hospital is that the way the stories are told, I kind of feel alienated, emotionally and psychologically alienated from these characters. I don't really feel like I know much about them. Despite the fact she's been on for 6 years now, I still feel like there's not a whole lot there, if you know what I mean. And that's not to say anything towards the actress. It's just the way the stories are styled. They feature plot first, character second. And when stories are told as characters driving plot, then I get invested. Then I have passionate feelings. Then I can get into tirades. But the way the stories have been told with plot first, character second makes me fairly neutral and alienated from who's there and who's not.
What about you, Damien? What about Damien's been quiet. I feel like...
Oh, no, I'm Damien. Roger's quiet.
Oh, Roger,
Roger's
quiet.
I'm just talking. I'm talking my little ears off here. Roger's sitting here.
I can't get a word in with this guy talking.
No, because, okay, maybe you've told, look at my Twitter page every once in a while. I cannot be neutral when it came to the character Sam McCall. I've tried, but there came a point with me when, you know, they whitewashed this character for stealing Zeke. Oh, it's okay. Sam didn't really do it. Jason and Sam is hot. I swear to God, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to take something and want to throw something in the person's face. I know they, Sam, and Layton, there's a big fan war going on, and, you know, I'm in the Layton camp, but with Sam, she could never replace Vanessa Marcel if she tried, in my book. I mean, it was like, wait a moment, Vanessa was beautiful, she was elegant, yeah, a little crazy at times, but bringing Kelly Monaco in as Sam didn't work for me. I mean, if they borrow into with Olivia, that would have been better, I think. That would have been so much better if, you know, she was already tied in. But coming on as a con artist, sleep with five men, kidnap Zeke, try and have a guy kidnap Zeke. That's when I lost all respect for Sam. I mean, I know a lot of people like her, but I don't. I mean, I've tried so long, but when they want to put Elizabeth down every 5 seconds, only because she's had 3 kids with 3 different fathers, wait a moment, so did Carly, so did Alexis, so did half of the guys in Posada, Sunny. Look how Ethan out of wedlock. I mean, not out of wedlock. I mean, because of Laura being missing. No one ever goes there, but everyone wants to throw Liz under the bus.
I know, right? It's a double-edged sword.
Carly, this is Roger. How long have you been watching? How many years?
20.
20 years, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think what they're doing right, though, is that you're very passionate about it. Even the things that you don't like, you're very passionate. So I think they would be happy, even if you don't agree with everything, because you're a very passionate fan, and it sounds like you watch every day and very loyal to it. So,
well, no, I watch
great.
It on the weekends lately because if I watch it during the week, I want to throw up. But, you know, after I watch it Sunday night, I'm like, you know, like they messed up. The way Sam was holding that gun, you know, I'm sorry. It was like, she was not scared of Franco the least. And you just let a psycho person walk. You threw this sob the bastard and, you know, called Jason and Sonny to clean up and said, Franco's dead, but no, she let him go. Just because she needed a booty call. And I'm like, okay, that's when, you know, it kind of lost me with it this week with, you know, what do you guys think about bringing big names on a soap opera like Jane Franco? What do you guys think of that? What do you guys think of the whole Franco mess?
Well, this is Roger. What was cool is we were actually there at the L.A. Museum of Contemporary Art a few weeks ago and saw the taping, and we had a lot of fun at that. you know, I don't know. I never think that these kinds of things bump up the ratings of the shows. It definitely has got General Hospital a lot of publicity from people that would have never talked about them before. In terms of the story, it seems like whenever a character's on for a month, you know, there's not always a lot of long-term impact. But, you know, I think from a publicity standpoint, it's worked for them at least.
Well,
I think,
yeah,
Carly, I think it's all in the writing, too. I mean, I think Bold and the Beautiful did a beautiful job
yes.
featuring Betty White over the recent years, and then the final end of her storyline, just in such
yes.
a beautiful, eloquent ending for which they won the Emmy this year. Now, that was Betty White. Now, that would have been a beautifully told story with anyone, but it made it that much more special that it was Betty White, and the audience
yep.
had an emotional attachment to her, even though they may not have had such an emotional attachment to the character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all in the writing. If you, to me, if you tell character first before plot, I'm there. I'm with you. I'm there. I'm screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying. I'm whatever. If you tell the plot first and you're just going plot, then I'm pretty disenfranchised. And that's
true
with James Franco as, you know, anybody else.
Well, and you bring up a good point. I love B&B. I got back into watching B&B because my co-host and my best friend and my big sister told me, you got to start watching B&B again. And I'm like, okay, why am I investing my heart in a half an hour show? So, but I did. And now I'm, like, addicted to it. That's, like, the only soap I allow myself to watch during the week is B&B right now because they help me with this whole Logan Forrester thing. They just help me on the edge of my seat, and I really want Steffi to go down. And what do you guys think of the mistaken identity, the whole storyline? What did you guys think of it?
I think it was a good twist. I was watching Today's Show not long ago, and I thought it was really refreshing Ridge's reaction to the news and the
mm-hmm.
fact that instead of, like, you know, any time in the past he would have just been really upset and walked out on Brooke for the 100th time, but he
yes.
actually stood by her, and then he told Steffi to back off. So I'm really anxious to watch tomorrow to see what's going to happen with Steffi because...
Yeah, me too, because, you know, the thing is that I wish they would address it on Bold and the Beautiful. Steffi keeps saying, I'm a Forrester, blah, blah, blah. Wait a moment. You're not any more of a Forrester than Hope is. You guys get what I'm saying? Because really, you know, Mamoni, Stefano, Wiz is not a Forrester. Wiz is a Mamoni. And it just gets me sometimes that someone needs to put that in her face because he thinks he is so entitled to this family and to this company, and she has done everything she wanted to give this company. And I don't know, what do you think of the Forrester Logan feud that I have lasted most of the show?
Well, I think, you know, Jacqueline McInnes-Woods actually done a good job because the first year she was on, you know, her character was kind of bland. But ever since they made her really bitchy and really determined to take down Brooke and take over the company, she's actually been pretty interesting of a character. So I love all the back and forth between them. And I like the fact that lately there's been some twists in the stories, including – you know, Brooke sleeping with Oliver and then Ridge's reaction today. Like, it sometimes surprises me where a lot of times soaps these days don't surprise me. But
well,
give them credit.
Yeah, because I was thinking, oh, no, Brooke, don't tell him. Do not tell him. And then his reaction was like a 180. But then when he punched Oliver, I'm like, okay, maybe punching the guy isn't good. But saying to him, you guys will have sex when I say you guys will have sex. I'm like, okay, well, you just took a page out of your mother's book without realizing you were doing that. But to me, I thought B&B had me, like, totally in today. And I'm just totally upset over the Nick and Bridget thing. I'm like, why do they have to go there? Why? You know, I love Sarah Brown, but why do they have to come in and do destroy Nick and Bridget this way? I mean, I'm, you know, a lot of youth are not happy with, you know, them destroying Nick and Bridget after getting married, trying to have a baby, lose the baby, and they are finally happy. And then you get, you know, Owen and Nick's mom into the mix, and I'm like, wait a moment, can't Bridget and Nick be happy for 1 second before you destroy them?
Well, Carly, I'm curious. You mentioned you watch, you've been watching General Hospital for 20 years. Now, how long have you been a B&B fan? Did you just start,
No, I was a B&B fan for, like, I go on and off on that, so because, you know, doing the whole, I came back really full B&B when they did the whole Brooks brother killed himself for the Hulk. I fell in love with that storyline.
Oh, right. That was a powerful story, for which they won the Emmy, by the way.
And so, you know, and I've been in big Days of Our Life, lots of probably about 25 years, because my grandma got me hooked on Days when I was like 6. And I fell in love with that show. I mean, the only problem I have with Days of Our Life is they should never let Deidre Hall and Drake Hogenson go and Mary Beth and pass the way they did. I mean, did you guys watch Days of Our Life too?
You know, Days of Our Life is actually my first soap. That's the one I was raised on. My mother literally watched that when I was in the womb. I was raised on that one. So I go back 39 years on that one, 40 if you count the womb. So I'm with you. What other shows have you watched? What other shows are you a fan of?
One Life to Live I love. AMC, I sort of took off my TiVo about 2 months ago because I got mad at AMC. I mean, you know, having David and Greenlee together was okay. But all the other things, I was fast-forwarding. The only thing I wasn't fast-forwarding is Ricky Paul Golden. Ricky Paul Golden, I love you. I want to marry you. I was loving Zeke and Amanda, but it wasn't holding my interest with all the other storylines. It was like, I don't know. I mean, we've seen Erica and Greenlee go through feuds and fights. You know, I'm happy that Kendra's coming back. But, you know, I've been watching One Life to Live for about 15 years, and right now I'm loving One Life to Live, too, because, you know, they give a really good take on things, and I love right now how David is, like, cracking me up every day with all of his, hi, Ma, hi, Pa, and, you know, and I think Noah's going to kill him. He called her that again, so I'm loving One Life to Live. Are you guys happy with One Life to Live or AMC?
No.
Good.
In a nutshell, no. Really, no. David Vickers at any time Tuck Watkins is on screen. I think it ups everybody's game, you know, and Robin Strasser as well. What I'm not enjoying about the show right now is sort of the whitewashing of the diversity that had been there, hiring 3 young actors who all look exactly alike, and I just think the stories are bland. You know, again, I have full respect for the people who are writing this, and the actors who do it, I really enjoy them, but the show itself as a whole, I think it's bland. I think they're saying and doing everything they've said and done before. They've taken away a lot of the elements that I appreciated. I'm not loving it. I'm not living that life, I'm telling you. Carly, I got a question for you. So what drew you to soaps? What do you enjoy about the daytime soaps?
Okay, I love how you can take characters over the years and you see them grow up. I mean, sometimes you don't see them grow up, but, you know, like Robin, Star, Days of a Life, having Bill, Philip, Lucas. But on Days of My Life, everyone's related to everyone. So people cannot have sex 24/7 on that. So, you guys, if you really do the math, all the boys on Days of My Life are related. One thing after another. And what drew me into Days was back in the 80s and 90s, you know, they were going on, you know, location to, like, Aramid and New Orleans. So they would go, I mean, they did some wonderful, good, timeless pieces of soaps. No, I still remember. I mean, it's like in the 90s how you guys were saying that Sonny was more of a ensemble player, and he was. But we never seen those adventures on General Hospital, how we almost see them on Days of Our Life. I mean, I'm a big Nicole and Brady fan, and a lot of people want to disagree with me on it, but if you put Adriana and Brady together, do we really need to see another Passion reunion? I mean, come on, people. They work together on Passions. They don't have to work together on Days of Our Life. Whereas, if you take that whole thing, I mean, you know, they brought three big characters from Passions over to Days. And, you know, I mean, they are all kind of still, not, I mean, family, but they are still all working together. And I just, I mean, that's why I'm always going to vote for Nicole and Brady, because they have that long history, the long, screwed-up history. And I feel like Nicole is one of the most misunderstood characters in daytime history. Yes, he made mistakes, but so has Sammy, but they are not going to throw Sammy to the whips before they throw Nicole.
Well, just be glad that Mackenzie Westmore isn't playing Sammy. And then we would have a Luis and Sheridan reunion.
I
love the character of Nicole. I love the character of Nicole. I actually like Nicole and Brady also, but I like her with almost everyone.
Well, okay. The only one
with
that,
everyone. There you go.
Well, yeah, but the only one I do not like her with is Victor. That was kind of gross. I'm sorry, you guys, but I'm loving Victor and Maggie. Victor
okay,
and Maggie,
now you're speaking my language here. I've actually been, WeLoveSoaps.net, been writing columns about what we call Viggy, or I started calling them Mad Tur, but Viggy, I think, was suggested a better term for the pairing of Victor and Maggie. I will tell you, Carly, I've been after this pair for a long time. I've been rooting for this pair.
Really?
I even talked to Suzanne Rogers about it last year when we did an interview where we discussed, this is over a year ago, no, almost a year ago, where we discussed the pairing of Maggie and Victor way before the character of Nikki had been killed off. And she was into it. So I'm just, like, thrilled that the story that I was really, like, thinking would be great, that I thought these two had wonderful chemistry, that is coming to pass slowly. And I like they're telling it slowly. I like they're going very, very slow with it. They're being sensitive to the fact that Mickey is still warm in the grave. It's a little bit odd because as viewers, we really haven't seen Mickey for a long time. But we got to remember, Maggie just lost him at the very beginning of the year.
That's true. Yeah,
but I love this pairing. I think
they're a great example
of folks pairing two people that are opposite, that are so similar in many ways, and yet so opposite in many ways. And the two actors are so brilliant. They're so intelligent. And they play off each other brilliantly.
You could have a whole show of
Victor and Maggie, and I'd be happy.
Well, I believe that Caroline and Victor's ship has sailed years ago. You know, I don't feel sorry for Caroline right now. I mean, she's had her chance with Victor years ago. And
they could have shacked up on the island, and they never did.
Exactly. So, you know, and I'm loving the fact that, you know, Victor is different when he's around Maggie. You know, it's almost, you know, the same as Kate and Stefano. I mean, at first I'm like, was kind of appalled that they put them together, but then I'm like, well, they are both evil. They've done everyone in Salem by themselves. Maybe they need to be together, but Maggie and Victor is a storyline I'm into totally because of this finally is giving John Aniston the time he really needs on Days that he hasn't gotten in a couple of years. Same with Maggie. They were not using them every day, and I love the fact that they are using them now because it's just so nice and so wonderful to see this couple being used in a way that is just totally, you know, in my opinion, great to see. And what did you guys think of the Frances Reed tribute?
Mostly I loved, I'd say, 89% of it. I think it was great. I mean, it's just so wonderful that they spent 3 weeks paying tribute to Frances Reed
yeah.
and Alice Worth. That was so unusual, especially in this day and age. That's
yeah.
so unusual for
I mean,
so,
yeah.
it's history that way. Oh, wait, getting back to Victor and Maggie for a second, just want to go back to that.
Okay.
What I think is also great about that is what it symbolizes, which, again, is what soaps do, which is that there's always, always a second chance. Even if you've
mm-hmm.
had the love of your life and it ends because someone dies, or even if every relationship you're in, you mess up the way Victor has, there's always a chance to find friendship, love, and more
mm-hmm.
at any age. And that is a powerful message that soaps used to send more regularly, but they really don't anymore. What I enjoy about Days right now is that I'm pretty sure it's the only, well, not the only soap, but it's one of the few soaps, and Ken Corday mentioned this to me recently in the interview I did with him, they have never had this many characters over the age of 50 being featured on a regular basis.
Oh,
but right
oh,
now,
oh,
you've
I
got
just,
Kate, Stefano,
you guys,
Victor, Maggie, Vivian. You've got a whole bunch of characters that are mature characters that are being
exactly.
featured in front burner stories every
mm-hmm.
day. And according to Ken Corday, they wanted to do that, but NBC would never allow them to tell that many stories for veteran characters before. So I love that they're doing it now. And in line with that, they gave Frances Reed a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tribute. I felt Marie Cheatham was a little bit cheated.
That's what I was going to say.
It was a little bit awkward. It was a little bizarre that the real Horton sibling, meaning the one that started on the show on November 8th, 1965, was there, but she didn't have more than three lines to say all 3 weeks.
I just want to tell you guys my co-host is on the line. Terry, are you here too?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I didn't even dial in. I didn't press one.
I know, but me and my friends, Waldo and Damon, I'm in love with Damon. I mean, yeah, Waldo. Well, I'm in love with both of them, so... And they are speaking
what,
my
what will Spinelli say?
Well, if you give me Brad for one of you, then I can
being
tell.
In love with people who cheat on him, so it's okay. He's polyamorous.
Yeah, I
no,
feel the same
I
about Damon. Like, I was mostly satisfied with the Frances Reed tribute. I grew up a big As the World Turns fan, and Helen Wagner died this year as well.
Oh, really sad. I'm feeling, like, crappy now that As the World Turns is done. I mean, my co-host lost it As the World Turns, and, you know, I mean, I can't believe we live in another soap, and I just, you know, I want to blame, because I don't think it's the ratings, you guys. On everything, because if it was the ratings, Days of Our Life would have been out of there 5 years ago when, or 3 years ago when it was like the lowest card in the ratings. So, do you guys believe that As the World Turns was victim to the ratings, or victim to the point that they knew like they could do it because they did, because of God in Light 1 year earlier to the day they canceled? At the routines. One year, I mean, what did you guys think? I mean,
I think CBS, I think Les Moonves doesn't really care about soap so much. I think they kind
mm-hmm.
of are over it. And I think since Procter & Gamble owns the soap, CBS doesn't make as big a cut on it as if they were producing it themselves. Like, ABC owns their soap, so they make more. If they have the same rating as the World Turns, they make a lot more money than CBS makes because Procter & Gamble has a cut of it. So I think... you know, the business model, just they weren't making as much money as they were before. And CBS, I think, would much rather produce a talk show or another game show to fill that time slot and not deal with Procter & Gamble or producing a big soap. Unfortunately, that's not what I want, but that's what I think CBS wants.
Oh, and we have another call. Hold on. Wow, we are busy tonight. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, my gosh, so then you're back. Well, me, Walter, Damon, Cherry's on the line, so yeah. I agree with what.
Hello?
we are all here, so. Okay. What do you guys think of this whole less cancers soap net thing? Because I think a lot of people are going to be outraged when they finally cancel it, because I live in Seattle. I live in the town of fucking breaking news every 5 minutes about a traffic ticket. So SoapNet has saved my life with, you know, if we have breaking news on here, I can discuss it at night. Do you guys think someone can save SoapNet, or do you guys think that SoapNet is just going to go out the window and never be heard about again, or what?
Well, I think, you know, Disney obviously thinks they can make more money with their 100th kids network or something. You know, the shows are available, like, on the web, so you can watch them online. You know, I know, like, my sister down in Tennessee, she refuses to DVR the show during the daytime. She won't watch it online. She watches Young and the Restless every day because it comes on at 10 o'clock when she's at home, and she wants to watch it live. And, you know, I don't know what she's going to do because she only watches it at SoapNet at night. She doesn't want to bother DVRing it or anything else. So, you know, there's a lot of people that do watch at night, and I'm curious to see how that impacts the ratings.
Well, yeah, and how do you guys feel about Young and the Restless? This is another show that I tuned to like 7 years ago, fell in love with it. I'm a Nick and Phyllis fan. I need Sharon to go bye-bye and be with Adam.
Well,
or
I don't know if you're going to get your wish. yeah, we talked to, I don't know if you saw our interview with Michelle Stafford at the Creative Emmys, but it was really funny. And Amelia Hindley, who plays Victoria, sang the Reading Rainbow theme song during that interview, which it was quite hilarious. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I grew up watching YNR too, and you know, I appreciate the fact that I can still see a lot of the faces that I watched 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not as in love with the stories as I was then, but I do at least appreciate when I tune in, I see people I recognize. I don't always get that on some of my other shows. So I love Victor and Nikki. I love Catherine Chancellor. I love Jill. Like, people I've watched for a long time. Even, you know, Cricket's back now, so I get to see Cricket and Nina back together.
Did you guys know how long she's there for? Because I was a big Cricket fan way back too, and I love her, and I'm glad she's back, and I just hope the writers are going to give Cricket good enough time to see everyone, and I'm dying for her and Michael to interact. I don't know why I'm dying for this, but, you know, I would love, oh, they did today, okay, I haven't watched today, thank you, but I just love the fact that Cricket's come home, how do you feel about Heather, played by Aiden Regal, AMC? What do you guys think of that?
Well, I mean, I think Laura Lee Bell's on for a month as Cricket, and then I think she said in an interview recently she wants to have it air, kind of watch it back, see how it goes over, and then maybe she's willing to come back more after that point. As far as Heather, like, I was just starting to like Vail Bloom when they got rid of her.
Yeah,
like, I didn't like her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird character for me. Like, I could not love Eden more. We acted with Eden. We were in an episode of Imaginary Bitches with Eden. I don't know if you watched that, but we had one whole line each, and we were actually – they edited it in a way that we actually appear very funny. So we love Eden. This is just a weird character for me to see her play.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So I'm trying to like it.
Brenda, you're on the line too with us.
Okie dokie.
But no, I mean, I agree with it because I agree with what you're saying because I'm like, you know, I loved you for Bianca for so many years on AMC, and then she came on here, but I was sort of finally liking Heather. And so I was like, okay, why do they do this to me now? And see, right now, you guys, I'm down to almost one couple that out of all my couples, there's only one couple that I still love, I'm still together on all my favorite soaps, is Victoria and Billy. I'm falling head over in love with Victoria and Billy. They need to have more explicit sex. When a bomb goes off next time, I would love to see that. I think... Finally, Victoria, I mean, I love Victoria and Billy. I mean, yeah, I was sort of a JT and JT and Victoria, but I'm loving Billy and Victoria. Do you guys have any
Yeah, I really like him. I think Amelia had a hard time. I think people remember Heather Tom so fondly, and I think people had a hard time accepting her. But I think this pairing has actually won her a lot of fans in the role because she's been very funny. Like I said, she was very funny in our interview singing that song. I think that the pairing has really, like, saved her as Victoria for me because she's got to show a humorous side, and I think she does that very well.
Yeah, and, like, you know, like, Young and the Restless, I mean, I can actually watch it and not fast forward a lot, but, you know, I was happy when I thought Billy was, I mean, I was happy when I thought Adam was dead. Okay, hold on, you guys, there's another call. Hello?
Yeah, who are you?
Tell me why.
Oh, my goodness, Shorty, please.
Ain't nothing but, hey, yo, don't call me Shorty, nigga.
Oh, you sound
tell
just like
why.
A fruity bitch, nigga. That's you, nigga, singing like that?
Against the sun.
Sure, these niggas.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Tell me why.
Niggas hit high notes.
Okay, what can we help you guys with?
Hey, yo, you better treat me special.
What? Yeah, exactly. You a waitress, Shorty? How much gratuity is, bitch? 7%.
Now I can see that we're falling apart from the way that you
used
to
be. I'm sorry. Niggas making noise in the phones, all type of words.
I want you to know that you're getting back. Okay, you guys.
What the heck?
Oh, Charlie. Hey there.
you guys. Okay. Okay. Terry, you're still on there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, no, I mean, no, this number, I sort of put them on hold. Because I didn't know what to do.
Goodness.
I'm like,
oh, gosh.
Get a little concert there.
It's always entertaining on this show, Carly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought it was Jay here for
Carly.
A minute.
What?
I don't know, Carly. You seem to bring out all the weirdos.
I don't know.
Well, we're here. Roger and I are here, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean you.
No, that's what I was kidding. So, Carly, I'm curious to know, Carly.
Yes?
So, when a couple that you like together, when they do get together, and they have a milestone like a marriage or something, so what does that do for you? Like
okay,
how are
okay.
You, what do you like about
it? Depends. Okay, it depends who gets married. Because sometimes I feel for some couples, you marry them off, it's a kiss of death. But for some other couples, it's not. I mean, you know, it's like there are some couples that, you know, sort of just got married right when their pairing was hot and good. I mean, I'm still not forgiving for them breaking up Luke and Laura because that was wrong on all different kind of levels for me. You see, Luke and Laura break up because they were a very stable couple. And it's like, but when they marry, it depends who it is. I mean, okay, you guys, I'm just going to be blunt about this. If Jason and Sam ever got married, I would go to Fonz's office and kick some ass. Just because that pairing should never get married. There are some pairings that you know that should get married, and there are some pairings you know that they need to break the hell up now.
Well, okay. But what is it, I guess what I'm thinking is, you know, for me, I think I told you earlier, with the characters like Victor and Maggie, or certain things on shows almost become symbolic for me. You know, like
mm-hmm.
the relationship between two people comes to mean something. Victor and Maggie sort of, to me, means that there's always love, there's always a chance for friendship and love the second time around. Other couplings, you know, like, that I've loved through the years, you know, like Hope and Bo and Kim and Shane on Days. You know, it just always seemed to mean something like, okay, if these people can get their act together, maybe I can. I don't know.
Well, I guess that's how I feel, yeah. That's how I feel, but lately, since, like, every couple I grew up loving is either broken up by now or not together by now. And I'm like thinking, why do this? Why do this to me, people? Why make me fall in love with a couple and take my couple away?
Okay,
whole...
So how does it, what does it mean to you when a couple breaks up on a show? A couple you really
I'm
like?
I'm pissed. I am just like pissed. off for about 6 months. I still haven't forgave the writers for breaking up Jason and Liz. I'm mad that Hope and Bo are not together because, you know what, we never saw Carly with P.O. Rucker. We saw her with Robert Carey. I'm sorry, it worked with him, but it's not working for me with Bo and Carly.
Wait, no, Carly, that's totally opposite. I'm sorry. No, that's totally opposite. Crystal Chappelle and Peter Leckel were together, and then when they brought in Robert Kelker Kelly, that's when they broke Bo and Carly up.
Because
he had a lot more chemistry with Lisa Rinna than he did with Crystal Chappelle.
Okay.
So Peter Leckel was actually her very first love interest co-star on the soap, and they surprisingly just had this wonderful chemistry. You know, they had tried to do when they had their super couples in the 80s, and they tried to pair somebody up with somebody else. It never worked. But with Crystal Chappelle and Peter Leckel, that was like, it really did work. I just had to interfere there because I'm actually,
I loved, I mean, like you said with Victor and Maggie, it's like, okay, oh, people can actually have a love scene and all cute, and it's working. The Victor and Maggie thing is working because it shows you that, like, you know, you're 70, 80, you can fall in love. And that pairing for me, like you said, a year ago, I was thinking, okay, who can they put Victor with? And the only person that I came back with was Maggie. That was the only woman on the screen that I saw fit. And do you feel bringing Vivian is a waste of airtime for the actress? Because, yeah, see, they are using her, but they are not using her, you know, big time. And I just want the divorce between Victor and Vivian to go away for Victor and Maggie can be, like, together, like, without Vivian calling him every 3 seconds.
I'd like to see Vivian and Chad get together. I think that would be an interesting couple. That would be much more her speed. She deserves a younger man. Like, needs to rock some cradles. Yeah, I could put that out into the cyber energy and see what that
was. Okay, and, you know, one person that needs to be killed on days, I'm sorry. And if I get any hate mail on this, so what? You know what? Eze and Ariana will be cute together, but I want to see Eze go down for the crappy kidnapping that he did, that he's blaming Anna and Nicole for. I mean, come on, people. Let Eze go down. Let him go down, because I thought Stefano was evil. No. Eze is more evil and conniving than Stefano ever was.
Well, okay. You know, on a psychological level, I agree with you, because he really messed with everybody. But don't forget, Stefano's done some nasty things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had Marlena and Steve and Hope all together on an island somewhere for a while, thinking everyone was dead. You know, he kind of, like, tortured the Bradys there for a good 20 years before he sort of left them alone.
And that's another thing I'm pissed off about. They drove us into the Bradys and Stefano's family history. But don't you feel like it wasn't as big a payoff as you were thinking it was going to be? Would you guys?
I'm with you on that. It seemed kind of pieced together and didn't really make a whole lot of sense once the sort of big reveal happened in early 2008. The idea that John Black, Forrest, Alamein, Foe, Roman, and he had 5 other identities, was turned out to be a Demira and a Brady, and that didn't really work either.
Yeah, you
know,
but for
me, the Partridge family adopted him or something. I don't know. But for me,
it felt like it was losing, it lost its train effect, because I'm like, okay, you fight 20 years over John Black? No. There's got to be more story why the Bradys and the Demira hate each other besides this. And, you know, when they did the EJ and Sammy thing, when they did Back in Time, it was good, but it kind of lost me someday. Just like, if you missed the day, you were kind of screwed with the whole thing. And I just felt like the payoff wasn't so great this time, Ken Corday. You know, we wanted it to be tied up in a little nice bow and handed it to us, and he did not do that. And then, you know, with him.
Don't forget, Carly, there was a writer's strike going on, too.
Yep.
There was possibly a change in story, which happens when there's a writer's strike. And unfortunately, it happened right at that moment.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But remember those flashbacks with Colleen and Santo? Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you think the priest was hot?
Yeah.
You remember the priest in those scenes? It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, there was the priest who Colleen turned to when she was so confused, and he was a buddy of mine from high school. Just trying to get the names out there. Doyle Hank. We were in plays together in high school, and he played a priest on Days of Our Lives. So,
this is Roger. You talked about Drake Hogeston. I was wondering, you know, what we cover a lot is what we call indie soaps on the web, and that Drake is playing a part on a show called Reality Bites, and Mary Beth Evans is actually the lead character on a show called The Bay, and I'm an associate producer on that show. And I wonder if you watch any web soaps or follow any of those.
I've been watching the ABC, What Would Happen If, you know, Carly and Ryan and Spinelli and Todd, and I'm falling in love with these web soaps. I mean, the one that I was laughing my ass off this today was Jason and Greenlee. That was, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but I highly recommend you all having a really shitty day, and you put that on, and you are laughing throughout the whole thing. I loved seeing Jason, Steve Burton, and Rebecca Bunning together. I thought that was a really cool little pairing, and I like that Erica Kane meets Sunny. Have you guys seen it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Maurice Bernard was on All My Children, so I remember when he was Nico and was with Erica. we got a lot of comments about those, and you know how, you know, in general, people tend to talk about the things they don't like more than what they do like. But we got so many positive comments about those. I mean, people seem to actually really enjoy them more. You know, cause if you read message boards and stuff, you tend to get a lot of negative feedback.
But the What Ifs
actually got a lot of positive feedback, like more than I've seen for anything in years, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was kind of cool to put, like, all these different people together. And when Spinelli and Todd were together, I was just, like, laughing. And I'm like, this is hysterical. And I hope they keep them up because it's very interesting to us, a character from one soap to another. Like I've always said, I always thought it would be really cool to have a Days General Hospital crossover, just because I would like to see it done personally, because I would like to see, I don't know, Bo and Sunny being Oz together because he's the cop and, well, Sunny's the mobster. And I'm like, you know, General Hospital and Days should do some crossovers because
irony of that is, like, I remember there was one time on General Hospital in the 90s when about 10 of the main characters from the mid-80s were actually on General Hospital. And I thought, wow, General Hospital is so smart because what they do is kind of bring over their best actors to Days of Our Lives, like Jane Elliott, Jeannie Francis, Lynn Herring, and they feature them on Days of Our Lives for a year or two, and then they yank them back to General Hospital. So fans like me who get really fed up with Days of Our Lives then have to go to General Hospital to see them. And then they brought back Stephen Nichols, Mary Beth Evans, Billy Warlock, Wally Kurtz.
Okay.
I'm like, wow, I'm having all my favorite Days characters are on General Hospital. So crossover would be tricky.
You know, I mentioned The Bay, which is the show I'm on the production team, and Mary Beth Evans and Tristan Rogers are the two lead actors. So you have like a General Hospital Days mix there with Robert Scorpio and Kayla.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and we should plug Mary Beth Evans is also going to be on As the Returns, I think this week or next week.
She's everywhere. She's going to be on As the Returns briefly. She's going to come back to Days in September for a time, and then she's also doing this web show. So,
I have a question. So, do you guys really, was the money that got Drake and Deidre out of there, or was it because I feel like we never got to say goodbye at, you know, Deidre and Zahn. I mean, they were gone. Zahn and Marlena were there one day and then gone the next. Same thing for Steve and Kayla. It was like they were there. They left. I mean, they gave Jennifer and Jack more of a goodbye in 2006 than they gave Drake and Deidre in
2008.
So what was the question? About the money? No, was it the money or what? Because, you know, they said it was
the
money.
On the record, which Ken Corday discusses in more detail in his book, which I really think, Carly, if you're a fan of Days, you will like this book because I enjoyed it
okay.
a lot. The book that recently came out about Days of Our Lives and just his family history, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks very direct in the book about the fact that they needed to cut about 40% of their costs and or die. It was either that. I mean, they had to do that to survive. And part of that was because of the recession, was part of the stock market crash of October of 2008. GE, which owns NBC or owned NBC at the time, lost a significant amount of money, and NBC was cutting back. Deidre and Drake were the first to go, and according to Ken Corday, that was purely a business decision, nothing else. He maintains that he loves them, respects them, has nothing but regard for them. Now, beyond that, I don't know anything. I don't know anything else other than what he has said. If there is more to it, I certainly am not aware of that.
Well, because the thing is, after they got fired, he hired like three new younger actors. That's the
right.
thing.
Which,
I mean,
from a business sense, again, you know, unfortunately, this is more so than ever. Soap fans are painfully aware of the business. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about salaries and budget cuts.
Oh,
no,
I know.
I just thought soaps were a creative enterprise. And I think more so back then, they were guided by creativity and made more decisions based on creativity and storytelling. But now, all of us, because of the business is doing so poorly and because of the internet, we're very aware that so many of the decisions we make and so many of the decisions we don't like are based on money. And it's a sad fact, but it's still a fact. But let me just say one thing, Carly. If you like those webisodes, the What If webisodes on ABC, and if you're frustrated about the quality of storytelling and you're frustrated by what you're seeing on network television, I really, really, really want to encourage you to consider checking out some of the webisodes out there. And the reason I'm saying that is because there are some people now doing incredible shows on the internet and only on the internet, where they're allowed to tell stories the way they want to tell them without network interference, without corporate censorship. And more soap stars are flocking towards these because they offer opportunities to act in ways they've never acted before. The Bay, which Roger was referring to, has the most amazing cast. I mean, like you said, Drake Hogeston, Mary Beth Evans, Riel Andrews, who used to be on General Hospital, is featured on this. Dylan Bruce, John Callahan, who's currently on Days of Our Lives, Nicholas Foster, who's been on every single soap ever, Lane Davies, who was Mason Capwell on Santa Barbara, Eileen Kristen, who was Roxy on One Life to Live, Lily Melger, who blew up in that car on General Hospital, the car we were talking about earlier, Charles Rodnesty, Shane Donovan, all these people are on one soap, and there's so many more. So when The Bay comes to internet, and it's coming soon, I really want to encourage you to think about checking it out, as well, as the other soaps that we feature every single week on WeLoveSoaps.net on our Indie Soap Beat, because it's unique and different storylines, and it's a new way of telling stories that haven't been done before.
Well, yeah, and my thing about, you know, I love Days, I'm not, you know, criticizing them, but the one thing with the Alice tribute, for me, I guess that I felt like they messed up was, you know, no one called Marlena and Dawn, and Marlena was Alice's next-door neighbor for, like, 15 years when, you know, she was married to Roman. So
I remember
like,
that. Remember they played Trivia Pursuit together?
Yeah, so, I mean, I know Marlena accidentally killed Alice back when, you know, they were on the island, which I was, what I like to refer as, Days of Our Life were lost for a while. It tried doing the whole Lost thing. I mean, not entirely the Lost thing, but, you know, having everyone on that little island and no one else knowing was kind of, you know, in a way kind of good, but in a way how Ken Corday was getting rid of everyone that brought everyone back, I didn't think he was originally going to do that. I think there were so many fans outcry that he had to. And, you know, my other question is, you know, them, you know, killing off Mickey. So, I mean, they didn't know that Francis Lee was going to die that year, but it felt like I wish they didn't kill Mickey because, you know, he and Marie, like you said, he and Francis Reed and a couple others are the only original Days of Our Life people on there. They're not many original casts from Days of Our Life that started on day one.
I know. Isn't that sad? I mean, but keep in mind that I actually agreed with the decision to kill off the character Mickey only because John Clark was not going to come back. He retired. Yeah. He's happy. He's living somewhere,
yeah.
And he wants nothing to do with the show. He's doing fine, and he made a good living off the show. And it's not like they really used him for the past 20 years.
No.
So anyway, so it's like, if they're not going to use John Clark, and if John Clark wants nothing to do with it, don't be recasting it. Don't put these other actors in there. Just
you know what I felt?
Go, and let Maggie, like,
mm-hmm.
check up on these
yeah.
new fans.
But what I felt like, when they brought in John Engel from, who played Edward from ZH to Days of Our Life, that was the biggest casting mistake ever because, come on, Edward and Francis Reed were about the same age, maybe 5 years apart. So for him calling her mom,
I know,
me, I'm like,
work.
Okay.
He was calling Anna Lee his wife and then calling Francis Reed his mom. That made positively
right.
no sense.
Yeah.
And the switch part is that Jed Allen on General Hospital was like only a couple years older than Stuart Damon, who was playing his son. So, it you know, that was all around bad. And, you know, I mean, as soap fans, we got to be patient. The soap history
right.
is littered with poor decisions like these.
Well, I mean, but, because Jed Allen was also on Days of Our Life. So I'm like, so it's like, okay. But I just felt like when they did that, I mean, you know, it's been rumored for a year that John Engel is going to leave General Hospital, that they are going to kill him off. Well, they said that during the Carnival time, and, well, he survived a heart attack. I mean, I'm thinking, you can never really kill Edward Cormier unless he dies in real life. I don't think the fans want to see Edward, like, die on the show unless he dies in real life. I mean, with the fans, it's weeping. Every time they were going upstairs, I start laughing. I mean, I feel in the tab, I'm like, okay, people, why are you really going upstairs? See, not really upstairs. You guys don't know this, but she died months ago. And, you know, that was my little thing with that. Like, they are going upstairs, but we are not seeing her face on camera. For me, it just felt weird. It just felt like, you know, I knew they had to write like that, but I'm glad they gave us the 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah, I thought that was particularly sensitive and unusually sensitive. Again, in this day and age where soaps are moving so fast and trying so hard
mm-hmm.
to ignore and disregard their rich history, Daisy did exactly the opposite, and I give them much love and kudos for that.
What do you guys
you know,
think about the daytime Emmys?
Ooh!
Well,
yeah.
I had the time of my life, actually. We combined that with... Thursday night, we did the GH taping at the museum.
Yeah.
Friday night, we went to the Creative Emmys, which we love to celebrate the behind-the-scenes folks, and there weren't a lot of press there. We were one of the few people
cool.
in the soap press there, and we got a lot of great interviews, and that's more of a party. It's a fun event. And then Saturday, we took a road trip from L.A. to Vegas, which we tweeted a lot, and then Sunday was the Emmys, and we had a great time.
There's some PG-13 pictures on this trip.
Okay.
You go to Twitter, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It was like 107 degrees in Vegas, but the red carpet was actually
Damn.
Inside, so we were very happy
okay,
the red
good.
Carpet was inside,
good.
And we got to be inside the whole time.
I have a question. Did anyone write you guys or yell at you? I mean, not at you guys, but they didn't do the memorials for people that died that year. You know, they lost like five people or six people I can count off hands, and they didn't do like a year.
You know, they haven't done that in a few years now. What we do at the end of December every year is we do our own tribute. You know, there's been,
okay.
And we include soap stars from all over the world and people that maybe were just directors or writers or people
mm-hmm.
that weren't. And so, you know, I'm keeping a tally this year, and sadly there's over 30 names on it already.
Actually, you can put 40. I mean, I don't know if he was on soaps, but I think he was. The who played Don Zahn's dad in Nasbirds, I don't remember.
Yeah,
his name,
was on. He did have some soap
mm-hmm.
appearances. He did have some
yeah,
soap appearances.
Yeah, so he.
James Gammon.
He passed away tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love the Emmys. You know, again, from our standpoint, to me, it was just the most exciting thing in the world is being there on the red carpet and having, you know, these stars who I've looked up to my entire life coming over and talking to us. You know, the interviews for me are a little bit hard because I'm a therapist and I love to yammer on forever and ask questions where people get to yammer on forever. So it's hard for me to keep it to like a 3-minute soundbite. But it's just
yeah.
so exciting. It's so glamorous. Everyone looks so great. Most stars, I mean, you think they look good on screen, or you may not think they look good on screen, but they look sensational in person. I mean, it's just, I get so caught up in the adrenaline of it. Now, the award show itself, apart from all that,
yeah.
And I thought I thought there had been better years. I thought there had been worse years. I think overall the show was respectful towards daytime. Now, here's the thing I'm going to say. I know as a daytime viewer, I felt like there wasn't enough representation of daytime on the CBS Emmy Awards this year. You know, and I thought daytime kind of got, you know, pushed aside. You know, As the World Turns had a tiny, tiny little clip.
Yeah,
and they didn't show any of the nominees, any of the reels from the nominated actors. And that was a bummer. But I will say this. My parents, who are really not soap fans, wanted to kind of see the show. They were kind of curious about it. And they were hooked in by the stuff with Vegas
what?
And the glitter
oh, okay.
and the glamour and Dick Clark and Regis Philbin. They were like, okay, this show is interesting to us, that it's not all about daytime. So for most of the audience, which I'm sorry to say is not a daytime-focused audience, you know, a lot of people that aren't into daytime found the show interesting, and they enjoyed it. So
don't get me
it's
wrong.
Sad,
I love,
but I'm just saying, there's a whole
yeah.
other audience out there.
I'm a big Regis Philbin fan. I TiVo him and Kelly every morning because sometimes that's the only way you're going to find out what's really happening, but you're going to find out some things about New York life, which I found very fascinating. And I mean,
where do you live,
okay.
Charlie? Where are you from? Where do you live?
I live in Seattle, where all that is rain. Okay, this summer it's not raining, but we spent about 4 months freezing our asses. And 2 weeks ago we had 89 degree weather, and people were complaining, and I wasn't one of them because 89 degree weather is nice, it's comfortable. People should be happy. And
yeah.
Seattle people. Okay, the only time people are really happy is when they go to Starbucks. I mean, that's about it. I mean,
I know that was the original one. I like Seattle very much. It's a nice town. Yeah, well, we are in New York. You know, Roger and I both live in New York, Roger in Manhattan and me in Brooklyn. So you want to know the New York happening, we will bring it to you on WeLoveSoaps.net. We do interviews here in New York. We do interviews sometimes on the streets of New York. If you check out We Love Soaps TV, we've done segments on the streets of New York in Central Park, Columbus Circle. We sometimes run around the city doing crazy, silly things. So, you know, keep watching We Love Soaps on end. You'll see more New York.
I will. And, you know, you guys are more than welcome anytime and come on here because I'm going to call on you guys sometime because you guys have this original good take on it. I mean, one of you is really, really happy and laid back, and the other one talks as much as I do. So, I mean, it's a nice combo.
It's
and
it's
me.
I think we know. I think we know.
And then you have me. So, by the way, if you guys if you guys ever need someone to, like, write a piece about daytime, just ask me, because I just got turned down by the Examiner today because I wanted to do a whole soap, primetime country music all in one little thing, and they did not like my idea, and I've been bummed about this whole night because, you know, I thought I could give them a fresh perspective of, you know, things that they are missing on the soaps. You know, I just thought they would be like, be nicer to Bradford. That's my new campaign. Everyone's so hard on my Bradford, and I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit by and not take it anymore. And you guys, I was just reading your articles and your interviews and the whole Ron Hill thing. Like, oh my gosh, they asked every question I would ask. Except you didn't ask what you guys should have asked. If there was a love interest on the show, who would you want to do? You guys should have asked that question, and you didn't.
If I could pick the love interest?
For Ron Hale. I mean, come on, Mike.
Oh, for Ron Hale. Oh, Bobby. Bobby Spencer.
Yeah, wasn't he
kind of dating
Bobby there for a while?
Nah,
yeah.
I think they were flirting. Ron Hale himself said he's not had a love interest, except they told him he actually did have a love interest off camera, which he didn't really know about with Tammy the prostitute back in 1998. I think Bobby and Mike make a perfect couple. They have very many similarities. They're both grandparents of Michael. They both have these wild, rambunctious
kids. And they are grandparents of Morgan, too.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a great couple. Unfortunately, you know, General Hospital is one of their shows. They do not want to tell stories about mature adults who are over a certain age. I think that is a real loss, and I think that takes away from the story. And sad to say, but you know what I've learned, Carly? You know what I'm going to tell you now?
What?
I have learned when it comes to soap operas, and in my own life, when it doesn't come to soap operas, I feel a lot better when I let go of my shoulds about what's happening. And the whole Bobby Spencer, Mike thing, and the way Jacqueline Zeman and Ron Hale have been sidelined is kind of a really great example. Because if I think to myself how unfair it is that these wonderful, talented people have been sidelined and treated not as well as they deserve to be, I will get upset and I get angry and then my blood pressure goes up and all these nasty things happen. And I realize if I just let it go and say, you know, I don't always know the way things should be. I know I have ways that I prefer for things to be, but for my own peace of mind, for my own happiness, I'm letting it go. And when I do that, I sleep better at night. I feel better. I'm actually able to enjoy the shows more. I can cover them more objectively. And I also find that I can talk to some of these writers and producers who may not agree with me a lot calmer, too. So I just want to say that I think the life without should is much easier.
Well, I think, you know, the writing, you know, when you write about all the articles, it's a good thing not to come off like sometimes I can't come off as crazy. But in my craziness, there is a reason why I'm so crazy because, you know, they have been looking us around and people forget that we are sort of paying for their airtime and stuff. And I just think, wait a moment. You guys need to be a little nicer to us. And, you know, I know they are never going to be that nice, but it's just like, you know, prime time, I feel like they don't duke you around and mess with daytime. I mean, Grey's Anatomy is my perfect example. I wanted Meredith and McDreamy together the whole time. Hopefully this season I won't mess them up that much, but on prime time, they put the couple you really want together. I mean, it might take 5 years. But in the long run, they actually stick to what they are doing and they don't change it a third way into the game. And that's what daytime does.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a phrase that I love that was said by Gandhi, Carly, and it goes, be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see. And that means if you want these people to be nice to you, that starts with you. And I'm saying this to you, Carly. I'm saying this to anyone who listens. And I say this to other, anyone who's unhappy with soaps. You know, be good to yourself. Treat yourself. And if watching a soap makes your blood pressure go sky high and makes you unhappy, then don't continue to knock your head against the wall, you know? Do what you need to do to maintain your peace of mind and your general happiness in the world. I only watch soaps that contribute to my wellness, and I choose to not tune in regularly to shows or any events which, you know, contribute to my anger. And I'm
I take it then you're not watching the No Hospital every day, huh?
Not every day. No, actually, I think it's improved quite a bit. Let me say one thing. I'm going to reveal something to you, Carly, right now and to your listeners. I mentioned before, I'm a huge fan of General Hospital, especially in the 90s when I thought the show was capable of telling stories that were a lot more focused on the human experience, on heart and soul of their characters. And at the time, the executive producer was a woman named Wendy Rich, and she covered this show. She was the producer between 1992 up until the end of 2000. The good news is, my friends, I just got done with a really wonderful interview with her. I think the first part of it is going up tomorrow, because I wanted to hear what she had to say about her time on General Hospital and her perception of what happened. And you go to welovesoaps.net, starting tomorrow, we have a multi-part interview with her. I'm not even sure how long it's going to be yet, but it's going to be very long, and these are the kind of interviews I love to do.
Why can I bring her back?
You're going to have to read the interview. No, honestly, I asked her that, but you have to read it, and you have to hear it in her own words. You have to see it in her own words. I don't think she will be coming back, but you can see exactly. So I transcribe these interviews word for word for word, so you will know exactly in her words how she feels about that.
Huh.
So Wendy Rich at WeLoveSoaps.net, starting tomorrow, go to WeLoveSoaps.net and look for the interview, as well as all of our features, including features that Roger covers, including news items, interviews, and future events that we're doing. We've got a few things in the pipeline of things we're working on with some other people, and we're very excited about those. So keep watching.
And you can tell us what is down the pike for you guys, can you? I mean,
they're talking stages, but a very special project that we're excited about. But you know the thing about you don't want to say something because it's
time.
You don't want to jinx it. But we're looking into some other projects that involve soaps in a different way. But you know, I'm a therapist and I like to do things that ascend the spirit. So that's all I can say about that.
Well, I want to have you guys on again. You guys are this interesting to talk to, and you guys this whole thing on it. I mean, you guys should just start your own reality show together, because I'm sorry, I will watch it. I will watch you guys. I don't know if anyone else would, but I will personally watch you guys, because you guys say the funniest thing. People think I'm funny. Well, you guys are funny too, and I just think someone needs to market you guys for a reality TV show. So if E! Entertainment are listening, come on, bring Waldo and Damon to E! Entertainment, and then
Well, you may want to play Boy Channel or something, but thank you so much, Carly. We really appreciate it.
Can you guys come on?
We have to go in a few minutes because it's 12:30 here in New York, and my partner's going to bed soon, and we got to call it a night here.
So can you guys come back like in a month, and because I would love to talk to you more about the Wendy Witch thing after, because you're not going to give me any more nibbles until I read it. So after I read it, of course I want you guys on, so you guys have, like, you guys can come on whenever you guys want, because you guys are the funniest two little reporters that I've seen in a while.
Roger's funny. I'm just loud.
Yeah, I'm funny when I can get a word in edgewise there. we definitely will. Thank you so much, Carly.
Yeah, you know how to reach us. You've got our email.
Oh, yeah, I do. Now, you guys, have fun in New York.
Thank you, Carly. Thank you, everybody who's listening. And again, check out WeLoveSoaps.net, okay?
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Night. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you guys think of my interview, you guys?
It was
wow.
Interesting.
I wasn't even, like, saying anything. You had a
good. I know. Gosh.
It was very interesting. I listened to it around 15 minutes before I, you know, dialed in.
Oh, okay. Oh, we missed you last week.
Oh, you
Silly,
did?
We missed you. Yeah.
Is anything exciting happened while I was away?
Oh, the Becky event was this Sunday.
Yeah,
read a couple of things about it, but I wasn't sure. I thought maybe they'd be like a whole segment on it, but I just read just a few lines here and there.
Well,
I was reading where Steve said that he just loves this couple. You know, he loves
mm-hmm.
the couple, and but of course they have to be politically mm-hmm. correct. They
Sully, Christy, tutored me today. She's gonna write up the transcript of the show and email it to all her listeners.
Oh, okay.
Whoever wants it. So, but no, Sully, you missed the funniest night last week. You would have loved the show last week, right, Terry?
Uh-huh.
Why? What happened?
Terry, you go.
Hello?
I've been talking for like almost an hour and a half. Terry, you can take over now and say why.
Hello?
Hi, we all. Okay.
Oh, okay. I had you guys. I had a mute for a minute there. I was like doing something. I didn't want you doing anything.
Oh my gosh, he was on the toilet.
we had like a little bit of a fight on air.
Who staged a fight on the air?
Me and Carly. And I just knew it at first. I was chickening out, and I waited like 20, 25 minutes to call in, you know, and everything, I forgot exactly what we said or something, because she was like, it's about time you called in or something, and I go, well, I have an important thing to do or whatever, and then she's like saying something else, and I'm like, well, you know what? You know, I don't remember exactly what it said, but I'm like, you know what?
And you just lost the co-host.
Yeah, you know what? You just
hung
up.
Okay. Well, I don't think I would have been too shocked because people hang up on Carly all the time.
Okay. Thank
you. You know, I'm gonna miss this. I'm glad Jay's not on the phone right now, but I actually saw that movie on Saturday, Inception, with Leonardo DiCaprio. Remember?
Oh yeah. Was it good?
It was good.
Oh yeah.
Was like if you were on the phone here, his ego would have been, you know, got a little bit another notch on it. But you know, I'm kidding.
Hey, Carly, are those guys still on hold?
Oh no, they hung up. That was weird.
Yeah, who were they? Who were they? What were they? Gee.
I don't know. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was. Stupid.
I know, we have 1 minute to go.
Yeah.
We have 1 minute to go, but we are going
God.
To begin overtime because I said so, and we will have a show Wednesday. We will have a show on Monday, but we won't have it on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we will not have a show because I will be on Cloud 9.
Yeah, if everything works out, I'll have to say.
Okay, did you tell her about that?
And she actually called me a bitch on air the other day.
Oh, my God.
But then I go, well, it takes one to know.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, then.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
Yeah, then just remember, the week after next, Terry and I will be coming from you from the exact same place. So yeah, that show in itself will be very, very interesting.
Yes. she's saying that we're supposed to have a drunk show, but I don't
know. Yeah, yes.
What is a drunk show? I mean, I've never heard of a drunk show before.
Because
I know everybody gets online and they get drunk.
Well,
they start drinking and they get drunk. Is that what that's all about?
Just me and her. So somebody says Sam.
Is what they say when they're drunk, Shirley.
Everybody.
Well, is it any worse than what they say when they're sober?
Oh, trust me. When you're drunk, you can say a lot of shit.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
And it may not be coherent, but it can be fun.
Necessarily say.
Oh, boy.
I'm drunk. I just giggle. I giggle more than I do now. I giggle.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, the last time I was drunk, I was, like, at a reception, a wedding reception, and I wasn't really saying anything. I was just, like, half, like, a zombie and half, like, awake. I mean, I was, I don't know how people could do this every day, I was, like, saying. And my family members are like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, you know what? I'm fine. Don't worry, I don't do this every day. I don't know how people could do this every day. I'm just
because they're alcoholics.
I know that's
what I mean. And it's very easy.
I don't know how. Well, I've got drunk once a long time ago before when I was going through some stuff, and I can understand why people do that. You know, go that way and get drunk. Their problems are gone for like a little bit, but the next day they're all there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So how was your trip, Sully? Was it?
It was very nice. Very nice.
Did you guys leave early?
Huh?
Did you guys go early? Because
we left early. Yeah, we were going to leave
Wednesday,
but we changed our mind and we left the wee hours of Tuesday. We left the wee hours of the morning, around 3 or 4. It was around 3:30 a.m. is when we left. And because we drove to Atlanta, that took around 7 to 7.5 hours, you know.
Wow.
It was cool. I had a good time. Tracy stayed with her dad and his family, and I stayed with my sister and her husband. And we had a good time.
Well, I mean, that's good. And Brenda, you're back in summer school, right?
Yeah, we started today for the next 3 weeks.
How was it?
Good. So.
Oh my gosh, how cute!
What?
My niece Tammy, her little picture is on here when she was like a little girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, how funny! That's so funny. I'm sorry, it's just like I can't believe
okay.
you put it on.
Don't mind us.
Just
live your life. Just live your life.
And Tammy and my sister when they were little. Oh, shoot. How funny is that?
And you guys, you're going to be very happy. I found someone that will do the website for me.
Oh, so you are going to have the... So it's a definite thing. You're going to have a website.
Yeah,
Jay was trying you to... Was trying to
Yeah, but he wanted to be like involved of it. He wanted
what?
To be in he wanted to, he wanted to run it and that would be scary having Zay won something. But I'm happy that Zay picked Carrie out a good movie to see because I'm glad it was good.
I think my niece saw it too. I think she saw Inception. I'm on her Facebook, and it said she said Twitter on Saturday. I mean Inception on Saturday.
You guys, this is sad. Damn it is moving to DirecTV only.
DirecTV? Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh well.
Oh, and you. Oh my God, Brenda, you were right about last night on Me Wives. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Oh my. You know, I just have a feeling.
Her dream, when she was dreaming, I'm wondering if something doesn't happen to him.
That's what I was just going to say, because I'm like, oh my goodness. That's what I was thinking, too. And, it was weird seeing, like, all of them go. But, I was crying throughout the episode. I'm like, So in the next week, it looks really good, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there should be many more episodes left. It should be almost time to do the season finale again here pretty soon.
Oh, gosh. Every year the season finale always had me on a
cliffhanger. So I'm wondering if that something happens to one of them and that's how they show it.
Okay, they said in the beginning of the season two people were not going to make it back next year.
So I'm wondering if one of the Sherwood guys dies, and I wonder if her husband is missing or dies or something.
Exactly. And Terry lost two blood last time.
So did I.
Okay.
Bridget, I was going to, there's a new show, I can't think of it, that's out, that's like, gosh. Oh,
okay,
gosh.
Okay, what night did you watch it? Because
The Glades, Bridget, have you heard of The Glades? On A&E channel?
Oh, I heard about it. Passamore is on my favorite show. Have you guys ever watched the show McLeod's Daughter?
No,
from
I have.
Yes, I have.
Oh, my gosh. That is my absolute most favorite show of all time, is that
really?
Show.
I
got all eight box sets of them. I got from one season to eight.
It's really that good. I have never
watched it. Oh, my gosh. You will be addicted.
What channel is this show on?
It's not on anymore. It used to be on the Wii channel.
Yep.
And it
started the
three seasons, and then they wouldn't pay for the rest of the seasons, and they shut it down. And that's why I hate Wii, because they got me addicted to the damn show, and then I had to watch it on the internet. I had to download the episodes to get caught up, and then when they finally started selling the box sets to the States, man, I was right on that, and I got all the seasons.
Oh, okay.
And it is the only season that I was pretty disappointed in was the last one, because they didn't bring in Tess in the last season because she was the one who started it. But other than that, it's so good. I absolutely adore that series.
I know. Even when I was in Australia, I never really watched. I don't think it was playing now. No, I think it was, but... I never really got into that show, and it's been on for 8 years. It was on for 8 years, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and there are some good people that come out of that show.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance, check out The Glades with him in it, because he's really good in this. He plays the American.
I know. He is flipping fine, I tell you. out of all the accents, the Australian accent, I would. Be putty.
Aussie men, it's something about Aussie men. I think they are so sexy. I don't care what they look like. They can be as ugly as sin, but it's something very sexy,
and watching the show, it makes
men.
You want to visit Australia so bad. I mean,
I'm
just see the whole way they made it.
Isn't it set in like the outback, like?
They filmed it right
out. Well, the Glades sound like the Florida Everglades. That's what it sounds like.
Well, yeah, that's
like
where that's
me.
Filmed, the Glades.
Yeah, the Florida Everglades.
Yeah. But if you want to go check out the Glades, Bridge, you could go on the A&E channel, A&E on the web.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
And you could tell us what I did, because I missed the first episode of it.
Yeah.
I've seen
the commercials for it, and I just haven't gotten a chance to get there yet.
And they showed his butt a little bit in the first episode.
Because, see, he was dating the girl that played Jody, and I don't know if he still is or not, but they were dating when he was brought back on.
Really? Well,
yes.
He is dating somebody. I checked on his profile.
Well, they were dating I don't know how long they were dating. But I know they were dating the last two seasons or more of McLeod's Daughters. And I know she came over here and filmed that TV show. She was in that, it was only on for a short time. She came over and played a wine importer or something.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Wow.
And I know Michaela that played on there, she came over to the States too, but I think she's back there in Australia. She's singing and stuff, maybe.
Oh, really? Yeah. It seems like a lot of actors now. These American shows, you think they're American, but they're from Australia.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. There are so many Australian actors out. And, you know, and it's so amazing. You don't hear the accents at all.
Uh-huh.
You don't hear the Australian accent at all. I mean, it's, you know, really, really something.
Did you hear that Mel Gibson went back to Australia?
What?
He did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That is boring. I thought that was boring, though.
No, it said on the web on my thing that he something about him going back to Australia.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, I thought, and I heard something different. I heard that he was never going back there, that he was going to be staying in the United States.
Well, I know on here on the internet it said on my homepage something about him going back to Australia.
I love Mel Gibson, but Mel got.
He's a little wacko.
Mel has
He's a few bricks short of a full load.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Mel. And I love Mel. I think he is a great, great director. You know.
Oh yeah.
He's a good actor, but Mel has.
And I loved him in the movies with Danny Glover. Those two.
You know what is strange? That Danny Glover hasn't came out and said one peep about this whole thing with Mel Gibson. I mean,
well, I don't think he would anyway, though, Carly, because don't see much of him.
No,
no,
you don't.
I think the last thing I saw Danny Glover in was in Dreamgirls. And I haven't seen
him. Oh, really?
He's that type of actor, Carly, that once he's off the movie, he does his own thing and stays out of the limelight.
Yeah, you know, don't you guys laugh at me, but I always get Danny Glover and, what's his face? I can see him. He's been in, like, movies with Tom Hanks. Oh, Denzel Washington. For a while, I was getting those mixed
Denzel
up with them.
Denzel Washington and Danny Glover? Do you see the resemblance?
Okay, no.
Was that one of your drunk nights or something? Because there is
no resemblance
of Danny Glover
and Denzel Washington. Okay,
I
wasn't talking about the resemblance, but I was mixing the movies.
Now Wesley Snipes is going to jail now too.
Well, they should throw his ass in jail. You know, these people are above the law. They try to get away with not paying taxes.
Yep.
And we poor people
have to
pay it, okay, or else our asses are in jail. Well, now it's about time. So yeah, well good. I mean, that serves his ass right.
Did you guys hear what happened to Zsa Gabor?
Oh, yeah, she broke her hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know is it true, like, if you break your hip when you're really, like, older, like...
Oh, it's pretty bad for you.
Okay,
it takes longer to heal because your bones, as
you
get older, they get weak.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't make it back from...
Yep.
I had a friend, grandmother, that broke her hip, and then 2 months later, she passed away from, like, a different complication, but she never really got over her hip.
Yeah, she had to have hip surgery.
Pneumonia and, one thing, starts the other. It's like a rollerball effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's arthritis. If they don't do a perfect surgery, arthritis could set in and make it worse, or it's just... Mm-hmm.
I have arthritis, so I don't know how that works.
See, my grandma never had arthritis, but she had a stroke, the only thing that, that left her was, like, sometimes she cannot feel her left hand, but, like, that was, like, the condition of the stroke, but...
Mm-hmm.
If my mom didn't get her to the doctor, like, I don't know, an hour later, she
would have died.
Mm-hmm. And I was in bed with my grandma when she had a stroke, and she didn't want to wake me up because she didn't want to freak me out. And now I wish she would have woke me up because I woke up to my cousin telling me, Grandma's dead.
Mm.
I was 8. And I'm like, so yeah, but I think with this whole Mel Gibson thing, if he goes to Australia, yeah, he just doesn't want to,
fallout.
Yeah. I mean, and you can hear his voice on the tapes, okay? They sound like him.
Yeah, I know. Well, Mel, I was hoping that it was, you know, but it's Mel, I don't know. Mel has been going downhill for a while. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling my sister, it seems like after he made the Passion of the Christ,
yep. He kind
of
went
a lot, and a lot of Jewish people really got on him because they were saying, you know, that they were angry because in his movies they were portrayed as the ones, you know, killing Christ. Well, if you read your Bible, he was exactly right. They were part of the group that, you know, killed Christ, yes. But anyway, and it seemed like he just started going downhill after that. You know, it was one thing after the other. Then he and his wife broke up, and I don't know.
Yeah, but his wife has been defending him.
Yeah, I know. She's come to his, you know, defense, you know. I don't know.
Oh, well, I tell you, what time do you have to get off? Because,
Oh, I should be getting off soon, but I think somebody's in the shower already, man. I'm getting in there too late.
Oh,
I have to get up early. I only have, like, what, 5 more days of summer school left?
Oh,
got
an please.
Day, so, huh?
I said, oh, please, I got 3 more weeks.
Oh, yeah, I know. We have, yeah.
And then we only have 2 weeks off and school starts.
Yeah, I know. When do you start school?
The 23rd of August.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind working summer school because I'm working. I really don't mind it at all, actually. You know, it gives me something to do, and it goes by really fast, you know.
Yeah.
And I know Carly doesn't like it.
Carly doesn't like it. Why? Carly doesn't
on
go
Carly
to school.
Time.
Because I got to get off the phone early at night.
Oh,
I
know.
Okay. I thought, okay. You're cute right now, I'm telling you.
I feel so bad for you, Carly.
But the day after summer school is over, she's here. So I am in a... Yes. Oh, I have to go to the damn DMV tomorrow to get my extended... No,
hey,
I have to get...
What?
Jerry?
Yes.
Hey, when you get there, make sure you get a word in edgewise while you're on the show. Just saying. I'm helping you out, girlfriend.
Okay, well, that happened to me, you guys. So, my name is Kevin.
Carly, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. By the way,
hey, Bridget on the Glades, I'm really liking the other. There's an actress on there. I'm seeing the chemistry between them two. They're like really good together on the show.
Okay.
But I think he's kind of like a jerk right now on the show. But
He must be playing the bad cop.
No, he's a good cop. He's a good.
Well,
you
know what I mean. The good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's kind of just got like a. He's not. It's like he's not afraid of anything. He just tell you
yeah.
just. You just, you'll have to see it whenever you see it. It's really funny.
I'll check it out after I get off here. And
yeah, on A&E.com.
Did you guys watch Day, though? Because I keep seeing this commercial about Days of a Life that Hope is going to suit Bo this week.
She already told us that she's going to kill him.
Yeah, she
told the
doctor. And he's trying to talk her out
yeah.
of it. And then Chad pushes his mom down the flight of stairs, and she's trying to tell him
really?
The secret. Yes. Well,
he
she's
pushes
fight-
his mother
no.
down the stairs?
Well, he's walking up the stairs telling her he don't want to talk to her because he finds out the truth about her being a whore. And she's running up the stairs to grab his arm, and he shrugs her off, and she falls down the stairs.
Oh, she loses her balance.
Oh no.
Now he'll be all guilty.
And then she's talking to him, trying to, about to tell him the other secret.
Oh,
but
God.
I could barely
which
hear
is,
what
which you think, what you call him is his dad.
I think it's Dad Stefano's son.
Yeah, that's his dad.
Okay, so he's saying him will be his only real son because Tony wasn't.
Yeah, Tony was, what, Tony was
adopted.
Tony was adopted. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so was Peter and Kristen,
yep.
And Kristen went to the night house.
Yep.
Oh. Is anybody going crazy with this stupid, what's her name, Chloe? That girl.
Oh,
that
she's
getting on
my nerves.
Oh, God. I want to take
God.
Her something and bash her upside her head.
Let's find out who the damn baby daddy is already.
God. Just tell
God.
Us.
Philip
God.
You guys.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't it true that you guys can take a test early?
Yeah. Yep. You can take just like Elizabeth did. She did do that. She did. They just take it out of the umbilical cord.
And it doesn't hurt the baby at all.
No.
So,
well, there are risks, but it's not not high risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can put a needle in the belly button, and they take it through there.
I am the sick of Chloe. I can't stand me either. You know why? I thought I would never say this, but I like Melody over Stephanie and Chloe right now.
Melody's calmed down a lot since she found out.
Oh, yeah, she was one.
Carly, her parent.
Boy, yeah.
But boy, wait till she finds out that Philip and Chloe cheated on her. Oh, hell, she's going to go nuts.
I like the relationship between Maggie and Melody.
Maggie has that relationship with pretty much everybody, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot like Alice in that respect, because she's got that same wide knowledge.
Yeah, but she takes in on the teen runaway.
Was she like the voice of reason or something?
Yeah.
Everybody.
I love it when she calls Victor Allen his crap.
Oh, I know. It's
and,
so crazy.
You know, it's,
her and Vivian. She calls Vivian on her shit, too, all the time. It's like, God, I love it.
You know, I'm telling you, that is one show that has quite a few older people in relationships, which I think is fabulous. And DH, I mean, even Y and R, you know, but what is with DH? They don't know. I mean, once you're past 35, I mean, now soon Steve is going to be over the hill because Steve is 40.
Well, yeah,
Steve is 40. So,
but you guys, Denise Bernard is over 40.
Huh?
Well, Alexis's character's over 40, too.
Oh, of course.
But how much longer are her and Mo going to be on? Because he's in his 40s. He's got to be in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how longer are they going to be on the show till they backburn him or let him sit on in the closet collecting debt?
Karen, you cry. What are you doing?
I'm looking at, I'm on Facebook. I'm looking at some of these pictures of the kids when they were little, and it's so funny. It's like bringing back memories and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's
everybody is on Facebook. My daughter's on Facebook. My grandson's on Facebook.
Oh my god.
Okay, but you're not, right?
No. I'm not on Facebook. I don't Twitter. I don't do a damn thing. Nope.
Maybe I should get some old pictures out and put them on Facebook, too. That'd be so funny.
Mm.
I have to scan them all first, though.
Yeah, we went to the casino on Saturday night for my birthday, and we were all talking. My dad goes, because my brother and his wife were there, and another friend of mine was there, and goes, who's all on Facebook and everyone but him? You know, that I have my mom and grandma, but I'm trying to talk Grandma into getting, like, you know, her own Facebook, so see, we'll see pictures of the grandkids and stuff, but for right now, she doesn't want to do it, so. But I told her that my might be fun, I mean, but because Biz is on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, Terry's on Facebook, and all of us are on Twitter.
Well, you know what, I think...
I guess I'm just the odd man out or odd woman out.
What, sweetie?
Like my daughter, she got on there, you know, to specifically, you know, try to contact, you know, some of her old friends, some people she used to work with, her godsister. So she found everybody she went to find, you know, she found, and now, you know, now there's correspondence.
Oh, cool.
You know, in
Terry
fact,
was,
one of her, huh?
Oh, Terry was saying something.
I said, I don't think there's going to be any water left by the time I want to, hot water left by the time I want to get in the shower.
Well, we can't help you there, Tara. Sorry.
No, because Lexi, she takes forever. I got to go to bed early.
So
you
gonna
see, you know what, now you see, what you should do, you should take your shower early. See, that's what you should do. You should take your shower early, you know.
Get
and then,
the hot water first.
Right, and then in the morning, if push comes up, you know, then you just kind of, you know, just kind of wash up, you know. But take your shower early, because it seemed like you would have gotten the hint, because every time we've been online now, you've had a shower issue.
When we were growing up, we only had one bathroom in Oregon, and it was, you know, my two brothers and my sister and my parents. And my mom got so mad at us one day. She started writing down how long all of us can be in the bathroom, because my sister and I would take so long, and the boys would just bang on the door, almost break the door down. And after that, and so when we moved to Seattle, they were smart. They got a house with three bathrooms.
There you go.
Okay, I got to just say this and get it off my chest before I go nuts.
What?
Why did they leave all the damn blinds open so everybody in God could see poor Elizabeth Vajayjay while she's having this baby?
Really? Okay, I haven't seen any
of
that.
Oh, she had the baby?
Cause lucky
she had the baby?
And she's right where she's... Her legs are spread out where Kelly's delivering the baby, and they can see everything. I mean, my God, people, at least shut the damn blinds.
Oh, my God.
You know what? What are they trying to do to Elizabeth? They have her with these three different babies. Now she's showing the world her with JJ. I mean, come on. We don't want to.
I mean, okay, could you really
what
see
are they
it?
Doing?
No, but I mean the way they got it positioned.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's just
the
idea, you know.
And Lucky's watching
the
through the damn blinds while she's having this baby, and then Maxie shows up and catches Lucky, so she's gonna see poor Elizabeth Vajayjay.
So everybody
that walks by the damn room's gonna see poor Elizabeth's goods. Hello.
Now, if only Jason could see Elizabeth Vajayjay. Now that would be interesting.
She popped that baby right out.
Oh well.
I mean, it's silly.
I know. It sounds stupid. I don't know. Well, that's GH these days.
Well, you know what I thought was stupid is that, you know, they want to put Sam as like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Well, I'm sorry, the way Elizabeth was holding that gun a couple of years ago was better than Sam holding the gun on Franco.
Yeah, you know what I was wanting to say, but I didn't. But I was telling you to kind of say that. I think it was on Twitter. We were on Twitter last night, and so we were, like, talking to a DeSam fan, and I was like, because she was, I guess when the VA was happening, you know, with Rebecca and Steve, she went on Twitter or something, and she said something like, something about, what did she say? She commented like, oh, it's been since 1999, something about the Liz and Jason fans, you know, give up or something or whatever she said. I don't know exactly what she said, and I, you know, and that really made me upset. And she said, and then I think I said something, and then I finally tweeted her, and I said, what is so, I'm curious, what is so appealing about Jason and Sam? And if you tell me they are hot, I'm going to puke, I said to her. And then she responded back to me saying that they are, like, they understand each other, whatever, and all that. And I'm thinking, if
well, you can understand a whole lot of people. That doesn't necessarily mean you should be, you know what I'm saying?
I know, and I'm like, if that's...
I mean, but you know, Sarah, you know, try not to let them...
No,
you
know, I
know,
I don't, I don't.
You,
I just,
you
when
know.
They were, when she just, you know, it's just like, you know, it just, I don't normally do that, but sometimes when they say things, it's like they don't even know what they're talking about. I know they don't know what they're talking about, but sometimes I got to say something because this is ridiculous. And I go, I think I said something on there, you know, they said she was trying to prove a point or something, and I was thinking, they're never going to prove their point. About how...
No, well, you see, but they feel just as passionate about
their
couple as we do about ours. You know,
but they're freaking out about Brenda coming. Oh my gosh, there's a meltdown on our end. Spoilers.
Yeah.
They're having a hip fit now.
Yeah.
What did it say?
They're having a coronary over Brenda coming.
Good.
Vintage Leo brought over a bunch of stuff that Jace Spam fans were saying about Brenda coming. Oh, my gosh, they're in a meltdown.
We don't have to worry about anything like that. They have to worry about that. Then they can see what we have to go through. When Sam was in the middle of all this with Liz and Jason and all that, now they're going to see, you know, the true blue, the true Brenda, you know what I mean? She's gonna come in, and she's just gonna phase out Kelly Monica. That's what I'm thinking. Because
she's like, you know, she's gonna be like the, you know, new old kid in the, you know, on the block.
Yeah.
Now they're sort of tired of Kelly, so they're kind of pushing her off to the curb now.
Any winner. She's
now it's gonna be Brenda. So probably 4 months from now, we'll have a conversation. We are so sick of Brenda.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be so sick of Brenda because they're going to feed us, you know, they're going to feed us Brenda, morning, noon, and night.
Well,
and we're going to be sick of her because I don't know, GH doesn't know how to, you know, I don't know, they're either all for one, that's it. They just put all their, you know, all their, what is the word? They just get so involved in this one character that they sort of forget about the other ones, you know. And now all of a sudden it's Brenda. Plus they feel Brenda's going to, you know, when she comes back, that she's going to be the savior for GH now. Everybody else has failed.
I don't think it's
going to be Vanessa, and I personally, I mean, I've never been a fan. I mean, I can take her or leave her. I don't care one way or the other. But I really don't believe she's going to be the savior for this show.
I'm just glad she's coming back because I'm getting
tired of seeing Sam
all the time mixed in this mess. I'm so sick. I was so watching today. I was watching General Hospital today. I was like, oh, thank God Sam isn't on. 40 minutes into the show, there she is in the scene.
Mm. Yeah. But, you know, apparently these scenes, either she just pops up or she's in it for maybe around 5 seconds.
Yeah, she just pops up.
Have around three words to say, and then she's out again, you know.
Honestly, I think they're trying to phase her out because
it sounds like to me. She has these scenes with Jason, you know, they have their little sex scenes and whatnot, and he'll say a few, I love you, whatever, and other than that, it's, I don't know, it's,
And what's with this, with the baby, the numbers on the bracelet, the ID bracelet? I think Franco
it's 66 because Franco likes the number 66. And I think the only reason he takes Aiden or whatever the baby's new name is because the last two numbers were 66.
I got a question. Because for a while I thought it was 666.
Yeah,
no,
that's the devil. That's the.
Well, I know. I mean, I know, but I got them. I thought.
Yeah, there's only two. The last two numbers were 66 because they did a close up of her wrist bracelet.
Okay, and
I'm curious to wonder who, because they all the babies have a device. They can't leave the hospital or their alarm goes off. I want to know who takes that.
Yeah, I got a question.
Baby.
But they didn't do that like 20 years ago, right?
No, they did it after the toxic ball fiasco.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Carly, hey, because I got on the show, I missed the first, they were saying something about they're never going to do that. Carly, I don't think they're ever going to do that. Something about, was it storyline-wise or what?
Oh, no, we were talking about crap. Well, we were talking about wouldn't it be kind of cool if they live a life and then a hospital kind of had the crossover? I mean, because in the beginning, and I could be wrong, and that's why I'm asking Bridget, I could have swore Laura Houghton or one of the, was on then a hospital for like 6 months and then went to Dade, but there was like, wow, someone has the same name on General Hospital in Days of Our Life. I could have sworn.
Okay, now there was a crossover. I think it was a crossover. GH to AMC. That was when Anna was AMC for a while. Remember? The character Anna.
I thought it was when they first started because my grandma said, like Laura Houghton or one of those where I came from General Hospital to Days of Our Life or vice versa.
I'm going to get off the phone now, so I'll call in on Wednesday, okay?
And what time are you calling me?
About 11 o'clock.
Okay.
I could have told you that. She calls you at 11 o'clock every night.
We had sometime this 11, sometime this midnight.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye,
okay.
Terry.
Bye.
I was just curious because and by the way I am going to be buying that Days of Our Life book. That sounds very interesting.
Oh, the book that they were talking about Wendy Rich?
The Days of Our Life
that's the interview they were going to do. Okay, Days of Our Lives book. Well, who's writing the Days of Our Lives book?
Ken Corday.
Oh, Ken Corday. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Brenda, did you guys have nice weather over there this weekend, was it?
Yeah, we had a few thunderstorms, but it was actually cooler today, but it was nice.
And what, Susie, are you guys back in the 80s, 90s now? Or,
mm-hmm.
or have you guys
mm-hmm.
got 100?
Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, maybe the heat index felt like that, but we haven't had three digits. Whereas New York has had three digits.
I saw this weird thing about New York. Someone was frying an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I'm sure it was that hot. It was that hot in NYC. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my cousin and I got burned one day, and it was so hot, so we decided to try that in Arizona, and it worked. I mean, we
sure it worked. Sure, it works. The heat, the sun. Yeah, you can fry your eggs. So
anyway,
anytime you lose electricity or what, just take your eggs and your bacon. Go out there and sit on the sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
Fry them up, baby. Fry them up.
Because we put a little bowl and then put the egg down in, but we didn't eat. We just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm like, wow.
Either that or put it on a hood of a car, you know.
Yeah, it's a hood of a car is a lot hotter than the cement gram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to tomorrow. I have to go to get my my extended ID. I mean, because it will let me go into Canada, and because I'm getting that, but I'm also getting my passport. But if I do the ID, I can get it quicker. And everyone's like, "Where's the line in the DMV is so long? Bring a book." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, you better believe it, boy. Even at, you know, I mean, it's so even back in New York, you have to go early in the morning because you're gonna be in there. So the earlier you go is better. The earlier the go, you can get out earlier.
Yeah, and when did you get home, Philly? From
we got home Sunday evening. We got home Sunday evening.
Did you guys have to leave, like, really early?
No, we didn't really, because it was on a Sunday. See, during the week you leave earlier because you want to,
yep.
all the traffic, you know, because you want to miss all the traffic. But on Sunday, you know, there's nobody, there's no traffic, really. You just go, which is good. So we didn't leave Atlanta till around 9:30, and we got in. I was in my apartment at a little after 6. You know, of course, we stopped off at Tracy's house because she wanted to unload the baby stuff, and since her husband didn't have to work, he was home, so the kids just stayed there, and she brought me home.
Well, how about the baby in the car? Was
Well, he was good at going, but coming back, you know, that's a long time for a baby, you know. And, you know, it's better, like, if he's younger, but now he's older now, and I think it's worse as they get older, trying to keep still and stuff, so.
You know, my mom broke down and bought a TV for the back of the car.
Yeah, we had the DVD player. And it's the portable one, and we took some of his little vids, so he watched it. That kept him calm for a while, but after a while, he was just sick of the car.
You know, and I mean, my nieces and nephew hates the car seat to be in it so long. I mean,
yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. It's the car seat.
Yeah.
You know, like at first it's okay, but after a while, you know, geez.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of understand that, you know.
So even if, you know, we go somewhere like 3 hours of the way, we are always stopping because it's just better for the kids and
right.
stuff.
Right.
And, hey, Philly, so you are there for 3 weeks and then you're off for 2 and then you start again.
Yep. Back to the grindstone.
But at least, you know, you will have Labor Day weekend off.
Yeah. But.
I mean, I feel like Labor Day weekend is the last true thing of summer. We're all around here.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's in terms of, you know, being summer, you know, they say summer is officially over. But here in Florida, no, we don't buy that because we're still getting hot weather. Sometimes it's still warm through September, you know. But yeah, you know, that's when most beaches close down and the amusement parks, you know, that kind of thing. You know, after Labor Day, that's it.
Yeah, after Labor Day here, it's like everyone's putting the summer. Summer closed away, and last year we regret doing that because it was hot here until like almost October.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I mean it was nice, but I just have a feeling this winter we are gonna get snow again.
Oh, that's one thing I don't miss.
boy. Oh, boy. I do not miss that white stuff falling. I really don't. Let me ask you something, Carly. In Steve and Becky's VPA, did Steve mention something about the NOP and he wanted us to go to the, go to YouTube and watch the NOP?
I haven't heard that, but I will ask.
I was reading that. Like I said, I didn't, you know, I thought I was going to come back and see, like, a whole thing on the VPA, but I only saw it's a couple of, maybe a paragraph.
Well, they only had about 45 people or 50 people.
Oh, yeah,
and, you know, when it costs $75,
I mean, come on,
then,
you know.
Yeah, and then Becky had her thing right before that cost, like, 50, so I know people that did both.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
so
know,
they had separate virtual, they have separate.
No. Becky had hers, and then Steve joined her in the, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And it was funny, a lot of people are feeling more positive, and, you know, and Christy and I were going to send, you know, the cupcake idea. Well, guess what, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow that food on set.
Yeah, you know, I guess so, you know, who knows? He's got enough.
Well, you never know what crazy's going to put something in
there. I'm getting ready to say,
especially some of those J-tankers are a little bit nuts. You never know what they could be putting in. Cookies.
Yeah.
Well, what was that other idea you guys had?
Well, okay, no, it was going to be a memory book.
A memory book, right.
But guess what? Another Raid Bomb Club already did.
Oh, okay, well, moving right along.
Yeah, that's what Chris did, I mean. I wasn't going to spend, like, I wasn't going to spend $75, but I mean, I wanted to, but I could not justify in my head. So we were, a lot of the Leyland people were blocking, protecting our trees for the day salmons, you know, wouldn't see, and for the DD people were not write anything, spin it to what we were writing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so, yeah, and what was I going to say? But I am so glad tomorrow, because that will be the last thing we hear about Lindsay Lohan or Mel Gibson, hopefully. All day it was about Lindsay Lohan. I don't know if you guys... You know,
well,
like,
she's always in the news. Lindsay, she has issues. She got the little drug problem. I don't know. I don't think her mother's wrapped too tight either. I think Mommy Dearest has some issues herself.
But like all day on TV here, it was either Mel Gibson or Lindsay Lohan. I'm like,
poor Mel. I don't know. All his own kids.
I was thinking today, I'm like, you know, someone big name has to pass away. Because if that happens, then we don't hear about Lindsay or Mel for like 2 or 3 days. Brother, are you reading any new book?
Yeah, I'm halfway through another Nora Roberts book. It's really good. I usually read right before I go to bed.
Hello?
I'm here. Well, I can't believe what I'm reading. And I'm reading that Kitty Kelly book on Oprah.
Oh, boy. Oprah's not the wonderful person that, you know, she wants us to believe.
There's
a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting read, and I'm going to bring that tomorrow with me because, you know, you voted the DMV anyway, so, yeah, but, you know, Oprah's not like this, you know, perfect person that a lot of people think she is. I mean, I don't think they thought she was perfect, but whatever, you know, it's a very interesting read. With Noah, what this book are you reading, Bridget?
Well, it's two stories. The first one's called Charmed, and the other one's Enchanted. It's a Donovan story. It's really good.
Laura Roberts, didn't they do her one of her stories on Lifetime?
They did a lot of her stories.
Yeah.
They did they've done like 6 to 10 of them already on Lifetime.
Yeah, because there was one that was last week or the week before last or something like that. They did a Nora Roberts thing. Well, I'm into my fanfic. I'm still reading Young Girl, which is good.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It's so good. It's very good. I said, oh, if only this could happen, but. Alas, no, it does not. No, it does. I'll just stick to my fanfic.
You know, I thought, Dave has become really interesting the past couple of weeks. And
what?
But, like, Days of a Life has been interesting, but, like, Buddha said, I want to kill Chloe. I think Chloe needs to go bye-bye.
They need to find out about this kid because, they're dragging this sucker on.
And I'll just end it now. And how long has that
rip the Band-Aid off and let's see the consequences.
E-Day and I don't know how long they're going to drag that crap along. You know, after a while, they just get on your nerves. All the soaps are getting on my nerves now. And now Victor and Nikki now he wants to marry her again, and this other chick, you know, who I said what is with this chick? Who is she really? So I guess they'll be delving into her background. I mean, you know.
But you know what I love? I love what Nikki said to you.
Just some more angst for Nikki and Victor.
I loved when Nikki said to Victor about, you know, you need to stay out of your kids' love life about, Victoria Sidney. She goes, you know what? It's about damn time that we just let our kids do what they want to do and stop living, telling them what to do. And
take care of your own business, right?
Yeah, and I thought, you know what? I'm glad Nikki, you know, isn't coming down hard on Victoria about Billy. I think she's just being a mother that listens. And, you know, I guess with a father like Victor, you know, you need a mother who's kind of.
So.
You know what movie they are redoing, which is weird? They are doing Scream.
Oh, my God.
Scream number 4, yeah. So, are you guys both going to bed or what?
Yeah, I'm going to go get ready, get into bed. I may turn on, SoapNet. I like to look at, it's not time yet. But I like to watch the old, what's the show now? Ryan's Hope comes on. You know, that was a good show.
Yeah, it was.
Ryan's Hope, that was a good show. So I watch that usually because I usually wake up at around, 5 o'clock or so. And I can't go back and see. Maybe around 4 or 5, I wake up and I just, turn on the TV. I just watch TV. So I may look and always watch Ryan's Hope,
I bet it's nice to be back in your own bed, too, even though.
It is. I mean, the bed I was in was like, sleeping on a cloud. I said, man, this bed is bad. It was really, really nice. But it's still, you know, it's always nice to go and visit, but it's, you know, it's just as nice, if not better, to come back home.
When did you guys go there? I mean, did you guys?
We didn't really do much. You know, we was just chill. We were just talking, just chilling out. I saw some really great movies because she and her husband are both movie buffs, and I haven't really seen that many movies. We were just watching and movies and eating and talking, and, you know, they have a deck out, you know, sitting on the deck. So it was nice. It was very, very relaxing.
So did you guys go up to Atlanta, like, a lot, or do you guys
No, I didn't go. I've been to, this is not my first time there. I've been to Atlanta three or four times. So I've done all the sightseeing, you know, things, tours, you know, been there, done
and
that.
And sometimes when you are on vacation, all you want to do is just relax and do really nothing.
Yeah, well, that's what we did. We watched movies, we cooked, you know, we just sat on the deck, you know, just chilled out.
Hey, Bridget, so do you think you are going to have to be the one driving your mom and Dimbo?
No, she changed her mind.
I know, I've been trying to pick you guys in the call.
Trust me. There would be rules before we even got on the road.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean...
Either or I'd be getting her a Valium and she'd be sleeping the whole way.
Oh, brother.
Just so you know, putting ice cream, mashing the peel in ice cream, not that I've done it before, usually works really, really well. We're okay. My grandfather would not.
A few sleeping aids and some water. Hey, that works wonders too.
My grandfather would not take his pain medicine, and he was in pain. And he was complaining for like 45 minutes.
Take your pain medicine.
And I go, even though he had a quadruple bypass, my mom said he could have ice cream. So I got him some ice cream, and I smushed the peel in the ice cream. He never knew about it. 25 minutes later, he was conked out. My mom and grandma came home and goes, "He's on the couch sleeping?" And I go, "Yeah, Valium does wonders, doesn't it?" And my mom goes, my mom's like, "How did you do?" I'm like, "Ice cream." So with my grandma, I'm never allowed to do that because... Grandma's allergic to, like, codeine and all that.
Oh,
my mom,
wow.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, I mean, I never got in trouble for doing that, but I'm sure I would be in trouble doing that. Some people just don't like taking medicine. And if they are in pain, I don't want to see them in pain, so I sort of help them not be in pain. And I understand what Bridget was saying. Yeah, that's all you would have to do, Bridget, just, you know... Do that, and I think army wise, I think the last day probably would. I think there's like three more army wives.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I mean, I'm gonna be sad when it goes off because I love it. But then the new shows, though, did you guys know that every show is coming back the last week in September?
Who?
Like all the prime time TV shows are coming back late in September, and I think it's kind of because of baseball and the playoffs. And Sully, I was sorry to hear about those Steinbrenner.
Oh, George Steinbrenner. Well, look, the man was, you know, he was up there.
Yeah,
he was what 80 something years old. He had lived a full life. He was, you know, richer than God. He was rich, you know, and he made the Yankees the most successful sports team in the entire nation.
Well,
but,
when Yeah, but they were breaking into things here, like Good Morning America and Today Here.
He is the most he's the most famous franchise owner in the business, George Steinbrenner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
so
yeah.
I mean, but I didn't even know he was sick, and then bam, and came on TV, and I guess they are doing a big public memorial for him.
No, I don't think so. No, they already did. I don't think. I don't think. I don't think they're gonna.